And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, I'm working on your financial freedom. And on today's show, I have to sit back in my chair, and I have to take a breath. And here's why I have to take a breath. I'm out of breath. I am out of breath. You would think that I just spent the last hour running. I mean, you would think that I ran from my house down to the corner store, which is about, 3 miles away, and I just ran back because I feel like I'm that exhausted. I feel like I'm that out of breath. So why am I feeling this way? Did I really go run? Well, first of all, I didn't go run. My body is physically incapable of running anymore. I can't do it. So that's not what I did. So some of you are thinking, if you can't run, you could probably walk. I mean, you could walk with a brisk pace. I mean, you could get down to that corner store. It may take you a little longer than an hour, but you get it done, right? That's not what I did either. No, I mean, I can walk, and I can get to a fairly decent brisk walk, but I didn't take a brisk walk down to the corner store and back. So what have I been doing for the past hour? I've been on the phone. Yeah, I've been on this little thing that I hold in my hand, which is a lot different from the old version of the phone that used to plug into the wall. You guys remember that version of the phone? Yeah, the phone that plugged into the wall that had the stretchy cord. Yeah, the handset. Remember that? Okay, I wasn't using that one. I was using the modern version, the one I'm holding in my hand right now. So who was I talking to? I was talking to a couple of people. A couple of people that are very prominent in my life right now. So who am I talking to? Was I talking to my wife? Well, she's prominent in my life, but no, she doesn't need to call me on the phone. We live in the same household together. She could just walk down the hall and talk to me. So it wasn't my wife that I was talking to. Maybe it was my kids. Maybe my kids have a big event going on in their life that they wanted to share with me. Maybe I was talking to my kids. Nope, not my kids. My son is busy working for the military. My daughter is busy being self-employed as a ceramicist. And you know what? In the middle of the day, they just don't have the available time to pick up the phone and call me. And if I were to call them, I'd probably get a, hey, Dad, can I call you right back? So no, I wasn't talking to my kids. Who was I talking to? My mentor. Yeah, I was talking to my mentor. I was having an intimate conversation with my mentor. And what we were doing is we were talking about intimate information, intimate financial information. See, what I'm in the process of doing is I'm in the process of trying to buy a multifamily apartment community. And in doing so, there's some work that goes into it. There is some absolute work that goes into it. There's financial analysis. There's property identification. There's property location. There is property inspection. There's a lot of things that go into buying a multifamily apartment community. And I was talking to my mentor. I was talking to my mentor specifically about the financial impacts of this particular apartment community. See, what I'm trying to figure out is based on the financials that the seller gave me, what I can afford to pay for this asset. Now, I come from a place when I make an offer on a property, I'm not one of these guys that intentionally goes in and lowballs property. I don't do that. But I'm also one of those guys that will not go in and offer more than I can afford to pay for a property. In the multifamily space, one of the things that I am looking at is I am looking at the financials that the current owner of the property provided to me. The reason I have to look at those financials is because I don't have any financials to go with because I don't own the property. I don't own the property. I don't operate the property. I don't have anything to do with the property other than the fact I'm analyzing the property. So all of that financial information has to come from the owner of the property, the person that would be selling the property to me. I'm reliant upon their information. And when they provide their information to me, what I do is I analyze that information. I take a look at their income. I take a look at their expenses. I plug that information into a spreadsheet. And then I plug in a whole bunch of assumptions into that spreadsheet. I'm taking a look at what do I think I can do for future rents? What am I going to do to improve the net operating income of this property? Because that's how we make money in the multifamily space. We improve the net operating income of the property while controlling the expenses. So what that means is we're moving income up, controlling expenses. That improves our net operating income, which increases the value of the property. So why do I want to increase the value of the property? Because that's how multifamily is valued. It is based off of the income streams that the property provides. This particular asset that I'm looking at has been on the market for a little while. And based on what I know about the marketplace, based on my research, based on what my mentor has told me, based on what my lenders has told me, based on what my realtor has told me, the asset that I'm looking at, well, it's overpriced. It's overpriced. In other words, they're asking a price point for the asset that is not supported based off of the financials of the property. But nonetheless, the owner of the property put the property on the market. I guess he figures, you know what? If somebody comes along and pays me my price, I'll go ahead and sell. I will go ahead and sell. Well, here's the problem. Where the property is priced in correlation to what my analysis says I can pay for the property, we're a little ways apart. We are a little ways apart. It means that the seller, he's got one price in mind, and I've got a price that's a percentage of his price. Yeah, it's a percentage of his price. Now, I mentioned earlier in the show that I'm not one of these guys that likes to go in and lowball a property. I like to figure out how much I can afford to pay for the asset, and I'm willing to pay as much as possible for the asset without overpaying for the asset. But even with my analysis, we're still a ways apart. So what do I do? Do I sit down with my realtor and have him go through the motions of putting together a long, drawn-out offer that might take him an hour or two to write? It might take me an hour or two to review. I might have to take it to my attorney to have my attorney review it. I may have to have other people look at it. This is a complicated process to make an offer on a multifamily property. It is a very complicated process. So how do we convey to the seller that we're interested, we're looking to potentially buy the property, but not put ourselves through that multi-hour process of trying to put an offer together? What do? We put together something called an LOI. You heard me correctly, an LOI. I know I used an acronym on you. LOI stands for letter of intent. So what's a letter of intent? It's just that. It's a letter of intent. It's a letter that specifically says, "Dear owner of the property, I would like to buy this property based on the following terms and conditions. I'm going to give you some parameters that I'd like to see as a part of the terms and conditions for the sale of the property. And if we can come to terms on maybe price and some of the terms and maybe timing and other factors that, you know, are kind of important to get out of the way up front. If we can come to terms on those things, we would be willing to sit down and actually put that offer together for you." So what it does is it creates an opportunity for me as a potential buyer of an asset to break the ice. That's exactly what I'm doing. I'm breaking the ice with the seller. I'm not wasting a bunch of my time, nor am I wasting the time of the members of my team. Very important. I am very sensitive to not wasting the time of my teammates, because their time is just as valuable as my time. So I guard their time. I actually guard their time. I do. I'm pretty good at that. I've got 27 years military experience doing certain things just like that. All right, let's get back to the LOI. So we're going to write an LOI. We're going to say, hey, I'm interested in paying X amount of dollars for the property. I'm interested in closing on the property on this particular date. I'm interested in getting these types of terms for my financing. I'm interested in the following terms and conditions about the property without going into detail. Okay. So essentially what I'm doing is I'm giving him a one-page document. You heard me correctly. A one-page document. And that document covers the salient facts that I need to cover. So you're probably wondering, okay, Al, spill the beans. Just tell us, what do we have to put in a letter of intent? Okay, I'll just go ahead and give you some of the information that I'm getting ready to put into my letter of intent. I already told you this, but I'll tell it to you again. The purchase price. I'm willing to pay X amount of dollars for certain number of units. Okay. Contingent on a clean environmental report, clear title, and a valid survey. I want to make sure these things are up front. If the seller knows that they cannot convey a clean environmental report to me, a clean title report to me, or a valid survey, this deal is done. I walk away because I will not get involved with a property that I have to fix those things on. Those are hard things to fix. Environmental damage to a property can be very costly and very time intensive to remediate. A clouded title, in other words, you don't have clear title of the property, there's something in the title which prevents the clear conveyance of that title. I have seen cases in the past where it's taken years, not days, years to clear titles that are clouded. And a valid survey. Why would I want a valid survey? Because I want to make sure that the property lines are exactly where they're supposed to be. And then if I decide to actually go out and walk the property lines, of course, I'd have to have the seller's permission to go onto the property. But if I decide to go out and walk the property lines, and I actually have the skill set to do that, I could go out and do that. And more importantly, what it does is it verifies all of the legal parameters of the property. Yeah, I know, I just used a big word, and I apologize for that. What else do I put in there? Well, I talk about the earnest money. In other words, what I'm willing to do is give them a check for 1% of the purchase price to be deposited with a title company as earnest money. And it's considered refundable. Refundable, you heard me correctly, prior to the termination of a due diligence period. So what I'm telling them is that I do want a due diligence period. Very important that I get a due diligence period. I want 30 days. I want 30 days to do all the things that I need to do. So I'm going to put that in my LOI. Specifically, I want 30 days to do my due diligence because I need 30 days to analyze everything that I need to analyze. I'm going to indicate in the LOI what my loan terms are. I'm going to tell them what kind of financing I'm looking to put on the property, that it's going to be no less than 70% of the purchase price, that the interest rate is not going to exceed a certain percentage, and it's not going to be amortized for more than 30 years. Yeah, I'm going to tell them this stuff up front. We come back from the break. More stuff to tell you. Stick around.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
Del Wamsley interviews Chad and Lisa.
This property, for you to have done what you've done, won the award, changed it around, done all the rehab, has got to be worth a lot more.
We purchased for $8.275 and it's worth $19 million now. So.
Wait, whoa. That is incredible. I can see why you won an award, and that's great.
Lifestyles Unlimited. Over 33 years teaching the real estate retirement roadmap. Text the word radio to 88007 for a $297 membership. Save $443 off the regular price. Text radio to 88007.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the second half of the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, I am working on your financial freedom. And I'm doing so today just kind of getting you caught up on everything that I've been up to as a multifamily investor. Yeah, I'm a multifamily investor. You didn't know that, did you? Now, up until probably, what time is it anyway? Okay, that's kind of a bad joke. I have always been a multifamily investor. Let me qualify that and tell you that I began my multifamily investing experience in 2017. And since that time period, I have invested in multifamily assets. Now, I've done it as a passive investor, investing money with somebody who's a Lifestyles Unlimited member who agrees to do all the heavy lifting, to basically run the project. They essentially are the project manager. We call them a lead investor. You may have heard them identified as a sponsor outside of Lifestyles Unlimited. Yeah. So what these are syndicated real estate deals that we syndicate amongst each other as Lifestyles Unlimited members. So I've been investing with other members, and I've been doing so since 2017. This year, I made an informed decision with my wife, Tina, because we don't make big decisions without talking to each other about those decisions. And if we don't agree, then we don't do it. Simple as that. Well, we both agreed that it would be a good idea for us as a couple to build wealth for ourselves and for the future generations of Gordons. And we decided to come out of retirement. We decided to become lead investors. And as such, we're on the other side of the equation. So I've transitioned away from being what I would consider, I don't like to use the word lazy because it sounds like I'm lazy. Yeah, so I'm not going to use the word lazy. But the word passive is truly a passive word. It truly means that you don't do much of anything beyond analyzing the deal and negotiating to be selected for the deal and then sending your money into the deal. You don't do anything. You don't operate the property. You don't go on property. You don't collect rents. You don't pay bills. You don't do anything at all except receive your distributions on a quarterly basis in accordance with what the lead said they were going to do on their payment schedule. Kind of cool, right? Okay, so we're going to be lead investors, and we are looking at a piece of property. I've been in contact with my mentor. I had some really good conversations with not one, but two different mentors. I'm actually using two mentors on this particular asset. And the reason I'm using two mentors, I used one to get me up to speed and educated on all the financial stuff that I needed to understand. And then I switched to another because the second one has intimate knowledge of the geographical location that I'm considering buying the property in. So it's a beautiful recipe. I get the benefit of two beautiful minds that are providing me feedback on what I'm doing. So I've gotten myself to the point where we're getting ready to write an LOI, a letter of intent. And in that LOI, there's some things that we're going to outline. There are some things that we're going to tell the seller that we'd like to do. And if all the terms and conditions are agreeable to the seller, then we will move forward to a formal contract. Part of the reason we do this LOI is it allows us to address the big ticket items in the overall transaction. And if we can't come to terms and agreement on the big ticket items, then we shouldn't waste our time working on the little ticket items. Does that make sense? I know that makes sense to you. All right. So as we were going to break, I was going over some of the different things that are in my letter of intent. All right. So we got to the point where I was talking about the loan terms. And I mentioned just before we went to commercial break that we're looking to put a loan on the property. We're going to go out and get new financing, and we're going to get a loan that is not less than 70% of the purchase price with an interest rate that's not going to exceed 7%, which should be okay in today's market, and shall be amortized for no less than 30 years. So we're giving the seller an indication of what kind of financing we're looking to acquire for this property. And the reason we're outlining our loan terms is because the next line is entitled finance contingency. Yes, finance contingency. This is a very important thing. This gives me an opportunity to do everything that I need to do as far as preparing myself to buy this property. It gives me 60 days after the date of the rescinded contract to secure acceptable financing. Acceptable financing to me, not to the seller, to me. What that means is I have 60 days where I can just say, look, I didn't secure acceptable financing. I want out of the deal. And you know what? They got to let me out because those are the terms and conditions that we're laying out up front. Closing. Very important because the seller wants to know that I can close. Closing shall be 15 days after formal loan approval. I, as the purchaser, shall have the option to purchase two 15-day extensions for $3,000 each, which shall be non-refundable but credited to the sales price at closing. So essentially what I'm telling this guy is that I get 15 days after I get loan approval to actually execute the closing. If something happens, something that may or may not be within my control, if anything happens within 15 days, I get the opportunity to pay him a little bit of money and I get a 15-day extension. And if the first 15-day extension isn't enough, I get a second one. So essentially for an additional $6,000, I'm getting an additional 30 days to close on the property. Now, do I think I need the extra 30 days? Odds are I won't need them. But that is in there specifically because we don't know what the future holds. We don't know what's going to happen in future us, right? We don't know. We don't have a clue. I mean, I could be moving along. We could put this LOI together. I get it accepted. We go to contract. I get the contract accepted. I go through my due diligence period. Everything looks good. I get my loan approval. I go to close. Everything's humming along. We're getting ready to close 15 days after loan approval. And then something happens outside of the control of the seller and myself, and we can't close on time. I don't lose the deal. I don't want to lose the deal. So I put a contingency in there specifically to make sure that I have the ability to close and I get the opportunity to have not one, but two 15-day extensions should I need them. Now, the other things that we put in there, we talk about closing costs, and basically that just says, look, we expect you to pay the normal closing costs that are customary in the state of Texas. As a seller, I, as the buyer, shall pay the normal closing costs associated with my side of the transaction. So you pay your share, I'll pay my share. Simple as that. We also put a line in there that says both parties will strive to execute a mutually acceptable purchase agreement within 10 business days after the execution of this letter of intent. And that I, as the purchaser, will draft the purchase sale agreement. So from the seller's perspective, the seller is sitting there with an asset that they've owned for whatever period of time. And that asset is either performing for them or it's not. It's as simple as that. If the asset is performing for them, why would they sell it? Well, they might sell it because maybe they have a change in what they're trying to accomplish. And maybe that asset doesn't do it for them anymore. Maybe they need to dispose of that asset and buy a different asset to replace it. It makes total sense to me why a seller would want to do that. But the seller is sitting there with the asset and they're waiting and they're waiting. And I know that this asset has been on the market for a while because I've got information. I have information from my broker that tells me it's been on the market for a while. So I know that the seller has been trying to sell. Now, what I don't know is I don't know what kind of LOIs the seller has received. But I do know this. I do know that the seller will receive an LOI from me probably within the next 24 hours. And when that LOI gets to that seller is going to have to take a look at what I have said and decide whether or not it makes sense to them. Now, they can counter my LOI. They can. I mean, there's three things they can do, right? They can accept it at face value, and then we move forward. They could reject it at face value, in which case, we're going to go our separate ways. Or he could counter back. He could counter back on any of the conditions that I have outlined in my letter of intent and say, hey, I'm cool with everything you want to do, but can you adjust the price upwards X amount of dollars? And if he does that, then I've got to take a look at it. I have to see if it makes sense to me. If it makes sense to me, we'll get it done. If it doesn't make sense to me, you know what I can do? I can reject it. I can counter it. Or I can just accept it as it is. It's as simple as that. That's what this LOI is doing. This LOI is really just a communication tool between two interested parties that are looking to transact a piece of real estate. It's as simple as that. This LOI is designed to expedite what I'm trying to accomplish and give me information without me spending a bunch of additional time and money to create a purchase sale agreement and send it in to the seller. The LOI is a good tool for you to have in your arsenal. Your real estate professional knows how to use this tool. If your real estate professional doesn't know what an LOI is, you know what you need to do? Get another real estate professional. Yeah, I'm serious about that. Or you can educate them. I mean, if you like them and you like them a lot and you want to keep them on your team, you can educate them. It's totally fine. Either way works. Either way works. Because maybe that real estate professional has additional skill sets that are more important to you than their ability to write an LOI. Does that make sense? I mean, literally, I can write an LOI, you could write an LOI, your broker can write an LOI, your attorney can write an LOI, anybody can write an LOI. It's not that hard. I mean, I just kind of gave you the parameters for what needs to go into the LOI. So the LOI is a tool for you to use. Keep it in your arsenal. And here's the other thing I want you to do. I want you to get educated. I want you to understand how to do what I am doing. I want you to understand how the 50,000 members of Lifestyles Unlimited have achieved real estate retirement in 5 years or less. To do that, go to lifestylesunlimited.com. Sign up for a free workshop, and let's get you going.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at LifestylesUnlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.